Welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen. Well, before we begin, I just want to let everybody know I brought my shovel this morning. I'm just letting you know I brought this shovel here, and there's a reason for it, and I'm not going to explain to you why I have my shovel till I begin to preach, but I want you to know that this is going to be a major part of my sermon this morning. So here we go. It's just an ordinary shovel. But stay tuned, because something powerful is about to happen. I'm just going to put it right here. Okay. My text is found in 2 Kings. And I really believe we need to be listening very intently this morning. I really sense that God has a word for us. And I would say for Logos in particular. 2 Kings chapter 3 will begin at verse number 1. We want to set the backdrop because my text is really found in verse 15 to 20. But I want to paint you a picture as we look into this incredible story. So powerful. And all of you worshipers out there, get ready. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, 18 years of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Verse 5. And it came to pass, when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all of Israel to find out how many soldiers he has to fight. And he went and said to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will thou go with me against Moab to fight, to battle?" And he said, "Okay, I'll go up." Stop right there. He didn't pray about it. He didn't ask God about it. This was a righteous king. He didn't seek God. He just made and responded because there seemed to be a need. So, yes, I'm going to go up. You are my people. I am your people. We're all one. And my horses and thy horses, we're all one nation. And he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "The way through the wilderness." Notice the word wilderness, very important. The wilderness of Edom. Edomites were the lineage of Esau. Esau. And so he said, so the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. And there was no water for the host of the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Oh yeah, there's a prophet, Elisha, the son of Shaphat." He's a prophet. Poured water in the hands of Elijah. You remember this prophet Elijah? He was his servant. And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to see Elisha. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Get thee to the prophets of thy fathers and the prophets of thy mothers." And the king of Israel said unto him, No, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely it shall not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. I would not look toward you or even see you." Whoa. "But now bring me a minstrel, bring me one who plays the harp, a harpist." And it came to pass, when the harpist, the minstrel, played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, underscore wind. Neither shall ye see rain, underscore rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing, small thing, in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city. And ye shall fell every good tree and stop all the wells of the water and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that, behold, there came water. There came water. There came water by the way of what? Edom, the desert? Water from the desert, and the country was filled with what a story, and so many life lessons. I don't even know where to begin this morning, but I painted you a picture because my verse and my text really starts at verse number 15. We have three kings. Ahab's in trouble. Jehoram, his son, in trouble. Moab wants to fight against them. Ahab has died. The king of Moab now is seeing the opportunity to destroy Israel. Joram gets a little nervous, and so he asks Jehoshaphat, "Hey, can you help me out? I know you've had problems before with my dad and the nation of Israel and Judah. I know there's been some problems, but can you help me out?" Jehoshaphat, without praying or seeking God, decides to help him. "You are one with me." Sounds very spiritual, sounds very good. But Jehoshaphat was completely out of line, but his emotions overcame him, and he decided to fight with his brother, if you will. And there was also another unholy affinity. The king of Edom was also going to join them. So we have a pagan king. We have another pagan king, because Jehoram did not follow the Lord. He followed the ways of his father. And you have the only one righteous king, Jehoshaphat, who decided to go into battle with this unholy trinity. And so they figured out how many men they've got in this army, and they decided to go into battle. But before they did, the only one king, the righteous king, Jehoshaphat, said, "Now, wait a minute. I decide to go with you, but hold on a second. What does God have to say?" Somehow Jehoshaphat, he got inspired after he made his decision, not before he made his decision. We sometimes pray after. We never should pray after. We need to pray before. Before we do anything, we pray. And is there a prophet in the land that can... Oh, yeah. There's Elisha. Remember Elisha? He was the servant of Elijah. He's God is with him. Yeah, God is with him. There's something about this man. And so let's go see him. And they travel 7 days through the desert of Edom to go and visit. 7 days, no water. 7 days, no... I don't know how you can survive, but they did. No water. Maybe they had a little bit of water with them to sustain them in some capacity. We're not sure. It's not clear. We're not so sure if they ate anything. But they're on this journey to meet the prophet. They're starving. They're dying of thirst. Very important you understand that. Very important. They come to meet Elisha. Elisha's upset. "Why are you coming to me, Jehoshaphat? And Mr. King of Israel, Jehoram, and what? King of Edom? What are you coming to see the prophet of God for? Why don't you go back to your prophets and your female deities?" Yeah, you remember that, Jehoram, that your father followed them, and now you're coming to see God? I won't even look at you if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. Kind of reminds me of the scripture that God said, "But because of my servant David, I will do this. Because of my servant David, I will do that." Well, because of my servant Jehoshaphat, I'm going to give you a word. I'll give you this word. And we come to verse 15, and a word comes. It seems really strange, but before the word comes, Jehoshaphat must have been a worship leader. I don't know. He really had a real passion for worship and music. Because before he says anything or does anything, before the word of God comes to him, he calls the harpist. That's what it means originally, the minstrels. And he wants them to play, but he doesn't want them to sing, just to play. There's no words here, just music. And so the word of the Lord's going to come, but before the word of the Lord comes, Jehoshaphat calls forth the musicians to play. Just to play. Worship. We don't know how long the worship took place. We don't know how long the music, but the atmosphere was being set for the word of God to come forth. That's why we have worship before we preach. The intent and purpose for worship is to set the atmosphere so that the word of God can go forth in power. That worship creates the atmosphere for the word. Now, I've used this text as an illustration a few times in my sermons over the years, but I've never preached an entire message. And so here it is this morning. The tone is being set. Elisha understood the significance of worship. We must never just give a word without spending time in some kind of worship, in opening your heart to praising, to worshiping the Lord. It creates this atmosphere. And so when the minstrels began to play, the spirit of prophecy came into the room. The spirit of prophecy came forth, and the word of knowledge came into the atmosphere. A prophetic utterance came forth through the prophet's lips. A word of knowledge, a prophetic word. A prophetic word. Didn't seem prophetic. It seemed kind of weird, kind of strange. And what was this prophetic word inspired by God through the atmosphere of worship? Dig your ditches in the valley. Seems a little odd, but we've seen this before. We've seen worship creating an atmosphere where God's power was released. We've seen it in 1 Samuel 16 when Saul was tormented by evil spirits. God's man was on the scene, and I'll tell you something. When God's man's on the scene, you can be sure there's going to be a battle in the spirit realm. Saul's incensed. Something's happening. Saul is tormented by these spirits. They remember. There's a man, a young man, David. He's a musician. He's a worshiper. There's something about David. He can play the harp. There's something on this man's life. Call David! And David comes on the scene. We know the story. We know it well. David begins to play. No words. He's not even singing. He's just playing. You know, sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes you don't even have to sing. But the worship, the music. That's why sometimes I love the altar call where there's just no words. It's just worship. It's just music. Anointed music creating the atmosphere, the anointing. No words are necessary. Sometimes they are, of course. We need words. Obviously, we love to praise. We love words. We sing. But there are times it's not necessary. Just worship the music, the anointed music. And David begins to play the harp, and all of a sudden, Saul felt a peace come over him. Something took place in the spirit realm. The atmosphere was set. Something broke in the spirit realm. And the word comes, dig ditches in your valley. Dig ditches. Kind of a strange thing to say to these men that have traveled 7 days in the heat of the desert. I figured, okay, God, just open the heavens, let it rain, and we'll get a couple of jars, and we'll fill it up, and off we go. word of the Lord came to them. The Lord is not asking for me to do something. He's asking me to work. He is asking me to dig ditches. Do you know how hard it is to dig ditches in this heat in the valley? The valley's dried up. The context of a valley is that it used to be a riverbed, but there was a famine and there's no water. And you want me, after walking 7 days, to work in this heat and to sweat in this heat? Lord, I came here for some water. I didn't come here to work. Maybe I missed it. Maybe we need to worship a little bit longer. Maybe Elisha didn't prophesy the right word. Minstrels, can you come back? Something's not right here. Elisha's off somehow. But God, without explaining, tells them to dig these ditches in the valley after 7 days. We're hungry. We're thirsty. Tired, Lord. I'm weak, Lord. Lord, maybe if you would have asked me to dig a ditch when I felt a little bit better, maybe, Lord, if you asked me to dig a ditch, before all of this, maybe I could have done it if I was well fed and if I had some water first, then maybe I can dig, Lord. But you're asking me to dig after 7 days. I'm weak. I'm exhausted. Just does not make sense, Lord. Elisha must have misunderstood. This cannot be the right time, Lord. This is the wrong time. How can you ask me to dig when I'm weak? Oh, how can you ask me to dig when I'm tired? It doesn't make sense to me. But you know, friends, when you obey the word of God, when it doesn't make sense, oh my God. You see, to dig a ditch is to create space. To dig a ditch is to create some kind of capacity. And I want to focus on this word capacity. I want to focus in on this space. What are you doing when you're digging? The Lord is asking you to dig. And so, okay, Lord, how much water are you going to send me if you want me to dig? We got an army here, Lord. A ditch. How can this sustain an army? Okay, I might have a little bit of strength left to dig a little ditch, But Lord, how much water are you going to send? And God says, how much ditch are you going to dig? You see, we're going to get into a principle that we don't hear much today. God says, I want you to dig these ditches. They're weak. They can probably dig a little bit. God wants them to dig ditches in order for water to come. And they get a little bit confused, and you can hear them saying, well, okay, but how much do you want me to dig, Lord? And there is the point I'm going after this morning. Digging ditches. I've entitled this sermon simply, Can You Dig It? Can you dig it? God is saying to dig ditches in the valley in the heat of the day. And according to your capacity, are you able to dig? And so the key is the ability to dig when you're weak. The ability to dig when you're tired. The ability to dig when you're thirsty. And they might be saying, Lord, I can dig. How much? And God's saying to them, as long as you dig, you're going to get your water. And so if you dig and you obey what I'm asking you to do, I'm going to do what I'm telling you I'm going to do, and you need to believe that and trust that. So according to your capacity, I'm going to bless you. According to your capacity, I'm going to bless you. According to what you do, I'm going to bless you. I'm not talking about salvation this morning. You're not saved by works. I'm talking about something that a lot of us miss out. I'm talking about water. I'm talking about digging for water. According to your faith, Jesus said, according to your faith, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. According to your capacity, ye shall be filled. According to your capacity. What is Jesus saying? You are blessed if you hunger. You are blessed if you thirst. The Greek word for hunger and thirst, mentioned this before, the Greek word for hunger is pina, and the Greek word for thirst is lipsa, and they're all written in the present participle. And so Jesus is saying, as you keep digging, stay with me, as you are continually digging, as blessed are those who are continually thirsting, blessed are those who are continually hungering. And what is the result of that continuous hunger? What is the result of that continuous thirst? You shall be filled. You shall be, not if, you shall be fed. And so it's about your capacity, your willingness to dig. Your thirst and your hunger will create capacity. Your thirst and your hunger will create capacity. So the capacity to keep digging when you're in the desert and you're tired and you're thirsty, you're digging, you're creating capacity. Blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting. This is why the devil's after your hunger. This is why the devil's after your thirsting. If he can stop you from thirsting, if he can stop you from hungering, then he'll stop you from digging. And if he stops you from digging, there's no water. No water! There'll be no water. And so I've got to ask my brothers and sisters here at Yolgos and those on Facebook and YouTube, how much ditch can you dig? Think about it. You see, my friends, whatever you dig, God says, I'm going to fill it. So you can't blame anyone else if all you have is a little bit of water, because all you have is a little bit of thirst. Little bit of water. It's because you only dig a little hole, little capacity. It reminds me of the parable of the five and the ten virgins. Five were foolish, five were wise. The five wise virgins had capacity. Oh, they had lots of oil. You see, they were digging quite a bit. The five foolish had very little oil. They didn't dig much. And of course, you don't dig much. You don't have much water. And the oil was not, there wasn't much oil left. The bridegroom took longer than they expected. Yeah. And so they wanted to borrow somebody else's oil. And so they went to see the wise virgins. I need some oil. I don't have much oil. Can you give me, can you lend me some oil? I'll give it back to you. I don't know when, but I'll give it back. And of course, couldn't do it. Little capacity, little expectation. You see, friends, you have to dig your own ditch. You've got to get your own oil. You've got to build your own altar. You can't hang around somebody else's altar. You got to build your own altar. You can't go to somebody's ditch and say, here I am. No, you got to build your own ditch. You got to pick up your own manna. You can't pick up somebody else's manna. God wants you to pick up your own manna. Stop trying to get somebody else's manna. Stop trying to get somebody else's oil. You say, you're too tired, you're too weak, so let me get something for free. Let me try to explain. I'm going to get somebody else's water. No. You got to dig your own ditch. My friends, if you can just find an area, if you can just find a piece of land, some kind of real estate, and pick up a shovel and begin to dig. And of course, digging means something that's not just physical. I'm not talking about physical digging. I'm talking about spiritual digging. Find an area. Stop analyzing things all the time. Stop overthinking. Some of you just overthink. Oh, what if? But 7 days I've traveled the desert of Edom. But I got a splinter. You just continue analyze and figure things out, and it just doesn't make sense to you. So instead of picking up the shovel because it doesn't make sense to you, you leave it where it is because it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. 7 days I've been traveling in the desert and thirsty. Here I am, this prophet tells me to work. I gotta sweat. I said, I gotta think about this. Reminds me of Nahum. When Nahum came to the very same prophet Elisha, he was a leper. Elisha gave him a word that didn't make sense to him either. You want your healing, Nahum? Go dip yourself in the Jordan. Not once. Not twice. Not three times. But seven times. Seven times. That's two. That's three. That's four. That's five. That's six. And on the seventh time, you'll be healed. Bye-bye. At first, he started becoming a bit too analytical, and that's okay to be a little bit, you know, but the paralysis of analysis can stop you from digging. But the waters are better in my own land in Syria. What do I think of this Jordan? It's not much of a river. It's not much of anything. Didn't make sense to him. But he obeyed. And he picked up his shovel and he dug a hole pretty deep that day, and God healed him. If he thought about it too long and he used his head, nothing wrong with using your head, but sometimes your head can get you into trouble. Sometimes your head is the enemy of faith. Sometimes. Dig your ditches in the valley in this heat, was the word of the Lord. I want you to understand that I won't do anything till I see you dig. I won't do anything till I see you dig. Now I know it's hot outside. I've been traveling in this desert, and I know there's a pandemic, and I know that there's a valley. I know it's dry. I know, and it's easy to justify not digging when you're in a valley. It's easy to justify not to do what faith is telling you to do, what you believe the Lord is saying for you to do. It's easy to justify not to by circumstances. Very easy to do that. And we've become professionals in doing that. We have. You see, God is saying, I'm going to respond to you on the level, here's that word again, of your capacity. I'm going to respond to you on the level of your thirst. I know you're thirsty physically, but I'm going to respond to the level of your thirst spiritually, to your hunger Physically, yes, but spiritually. Maybe someone out there is praying. Yep. Praying, okay, Lord, capacity, fine, then increase my capacity. There's nothing wrong with that. The disciples, they asked, oh Lord, increase our faith. Increase my faith. I see it. But my faith is weak. Increase my faith. That's what Jabez. He said, Lord, bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my sphere of influence. Enlarge it, Lord. Isaiah in 54:2 of Isaiah, enlarge your tents, enlarge your capacity, enlarge my sphere of influence. David prayed, Psalm 119, verse 32, enlarge my heart, enlarge my capacity that I might run to you, Lord. Enlarge, enlarge, enlarge my capacity, enlarge my faith, enlarge, enlarge my heart's desire, my passion. Yes, help me to dig, help me to dig ditches, not just to dig, but to dig ditches in my valley when I'm discouraged, to dig ditches and to trust you in my pain, not just to dig, but to dig ditches when things don't make sense. To dig ditches when all hell is breaking loose. And I just want to find some shade. I don't want to dig. I want to find shade. And maybe I can find somebody else's watering hole. Help me dig in my valley. That's right. My valley. A valley is a tough place to be in. I know when we talk about valleys, there's a lot of vegetation in the valley. But in this context, the valley was, I mentioned, a dried up riverbed. You want me to dig a ditch already that's dry? You want me to dig a hole in a hole that's already dead and dry? Yeah. You want me to dig a hole in a dry land? There's no water here. Lord, I just don't understand. And you know, as I'm thinking about this, I'm drawn to the next chapter. We all know the story in 2 Kings chapter 4. This woman, she has sons. She's in some serious debt. She's heard Elisha. Elisha was involved in so many miracles. The prophet comes to her. She was willing to sell her children just to get out of debt. You read it for yourselves. I don't have time to expand on it. And she needs to hear the word from the Lord. The prophet comes and says, I want you to go borrow some jars. Borrow some jars. Again, does it? Borrow jars. Lord, I'm in debt. I don't want to borrow something else. Want me to borrow something? And get? I'm in debt. Got to sell my kids. I'm in debt. Go and borrow some jars. And not just one or two. Get a few of them. And so she sends her sons to the neighbors. You know, the neighbors always know things. You ever notice that? Oh, you're coming in? I know you're in trouble. You come after me. Can I borrow a jar? What do you want a jar for? Well, I don't know, to tell you the truth. And so they went and they got a few jars. All she had was a little bit of oil in her own jar, just a bit of oil. And as her sons brought back all these jars, we don't know how many jars there were. She picked up the shovel in the spirit. She began to dig. She poured out the oil, the little bit of oil that she had in her jar, to all these other jars that her sons brought back. And as she was pouring out the oil, little bit of oil, every jar that she borrowed was filled with oil. The oil kept flowing. The oil kept flowing because she was digging ditches in the valley of debt, the valley of despair, the valley of pain, the valley of a pandemic. She was digging ditches in her valley, and the oil kept flowing. Yeah, you have the capacity. Because what God is getting ready to pour out in my life and in your life, you have to have enough capacity. Capacity. Yeah. So watch this. Watch this now. God won't stop pouring out that oil. You see, the oil kept pouring into the jars. And it didn't, if she had 10 jars, the 10 jars were filled. If she had 20 jars, the 20 jars would have been filled. That's why we don't have a precise number. You see, God will keep pouring it out. You see, God won't stop till your hunger stops. God won't stop till your hunger stops. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. That's in the present participle. After righteousness. That's present participle. Be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18. Verse 17. Knowing therefore the will of God. Okay, what is the will of God? Verse 17. What is the will of God? Verse 18 tells us. Be filled with the Spirit of God. The Greek is to keep on being filled. Be being filled. Be being filled. Be being. In other words, keep digging. Keep digging. Well, that's a word for somebody this morning. Keep digging. Be being filled. We think if we're filled, then we had a good time, we got a good hallelujah service, we had a good, I think everything's just fine. No. Then I gotta be being. Next day, I gotta get back. The day after that, I gotta get back. I gotta pick up my shovel again. No past blessing secures a present one. Okay, it happened in the past, praise the Lord. But what about tomorrow? Be being filled. Be being filled. And so we see, if any man thirst, Jesus said, let him come and drink. Let him come. Let him keep coming, in other words. Let him keep coming. And so if you will dig your ditches deeper, I'll send more water. If you go deeper, I'll send more water. There'll be an overflow, as David said in this 23rd Psalm, most famous of all Psalms. What is it? My cup overflows. There'll be an overflowing. An overflowing. David was a tremendous digger. He kept digging and digging. That was one of his strengths. He kept coming back to God. Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh hungers and longs for thee. Oh, he was digging constantly. Therefore, my cup overflowed. Ah, yes, but here comes the devil. Oh, he'll come. He'll try to numb your hunger. The devil will come and try to anesthetize your thirst. He'll try to stop you from drinking. He'll try to stop you from digging at any cost, any time. He'll do whatever he can to stop you and to cause you to put your shovel down. He'll do whatever he can to keep you from digging. That's right. He'll say to you, yeah, your life isn't going anywhere. Stop trying. You're not going to get. Remember what happened last time? Just settle for what you got. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be like your sister or like your brother. So stop it. Put it down. Don't you remember what happened last time? Have you forgotten? You're a failure. Don't try again. God's abandoned you. Don't you see what happened? That's why you got sick. What are you doing? Oh yeah, he'll come and put thoughts in your mind to keep you from digging. He'll try to talk you out of stop. He'll try to talk you out of it over and over again. But friends, I've come to tell the devil this morning. I've come to tell all these naysayers. I've come to tell the enemies of God in the spirit. Listen, I came to tell you. Listen, I've got a shovel this morning. I've got this shovel and I'm going to keep digging. It doesn't matter what's the temperatures outside. I don't care if there's a desert outside. I don't care if I'm in the middle of a pandemic. I don't care what's happened last week. I don't care what happened last month. I got a shovel. I came to tell the devil, I'm not putting my shovel down. I'm going to keep digging. I'm going to keep hungering. I'm going to keep thirsting. I don't care what's around me. I don't care what happened last week. I got to keep trusting God. I got to keep building and digging that ditch because God's got water. I may not see it yet, but I know the water's coming. That's right. And if I have to get a bulldozer, if I got to go to Home Depot and rent some kind of mini bulldozer, Zach, you can come and join me. We can start digging together. I'll do it. I really will. I'm not going to function any longer with what people might be saying, what the media might be saying, what the world is saying, what the devil is saying. I've got to dig my ditch. I've got to keep digging. I've got to keep digging. I've got to keep digging. And I got to ask, have you ever asked yourself, why is it that you can come to church and one person gets blessed? You've been there. You've seen one person really get touched by God. Oh yeah. And that the person sitting beside you or behind you couldn't care less. Nothing seems to happen. In fact, they're looking at their watch. Can't wait to leave the service. Have you ever asked yourself, what in the world? Same message, same worship service, same word. Why is it one receives, but the other doesn't? One gets blessed, yet the other one seems to get nothing, just complaining and murmuring, why? Can I tell you, there's my word again. There's that keeps coming up. The capacity. One has brought his shovel with him, and the other one hasn't. One is hungry, and the other one isn't. One is thirsty, and the other one isn't. Capacity. Let me ask you this morning, do you have capacity this morning? Do you have capacity? Is there hunger in your heart? You see, they're not hungry. They don't want to get dirty. They don't want to get splinters, perhaps, in their hands. There's wood. They don't want to get tired. They don't want to sacrifice. It's too hot. I don't want to pay that. I don't want to go the extra mile. It's too complicated. It's too complicated. I'm not interested. I'm not going to dig my ditch. I'm not going to dig my ditch. We're in the valley. In the valley. Digging my ditch in the valley. In the valley. That's the key word, valley. Principle. Listen, life lesson. Are you ready for this? You see, friends, these people didn't see the valley as an opportunity to be blessed. When God asked us to dig ditches in the valley, a valley is a picture of some kind of trial, of some kind of pain, of some kind of desert. And a lot of times when we are in a desert, we don't want to dig because we don't see the opportunity or we don't see the blessing in the valley. We can't figure out, how can there be a blessing in this experience? Lord, how can you bless me when I just went through hell? How can I see a blessing? I don't understand what good can come out of this situation. You don't see it with your heart. You see it with your mind. You see it with the externals. You see because you feel it. You see it in through your five senses, and you don't see the opportunity. You don't, and so you make your analysis, and you start thinking, how can this be this way? There's nothing positive. I don't see any fruit in this situation. The opportunity, you lose the opportunity to be blessed because you see the valley and you can't hear God in that valley, and you don't see God in that valley, and you don't see the potential of your valley. That's why God has you in a valley, because there's something that's going to come out of that valley. You see, people want the benefits, but they don't want the requirements. Lord, you asked me to dig in the desert, in my valley. I don't want that. I don't want the requirements. Just give me the water. I don't need this. But what? I don't want to do anything. Just give me the water. It's like people who love dogs. You know people love that, but they don't want to walk the dog. It's too much. It's too difficult to walk the dog. I want a dog. I don't want to walk the dog. I want your water, but I don't want to dig water for the water. You see, the water comes through the digging. That's how the water comes. We don't want to dig. Especially when I'm in the valley. No. I'm in a valley. I don't want to dig. I want some comfort. I want, if there's an easy road, let me get to it. Especially in this valley, life is difficult. I don't want to dig in my valley. You see, anyone can dig from a high place, my friend. Anyone can dig when it's conducive and you're strong and you feel capable and all the circumstances are great and you're not in a ditch, you're not in a dry place, you're in maybe the land is a little moist so you can easily dig. You know, when it's dry, it's really tough. You know, when the conditions are right, in that high place, but from a low place, Lord, you want me to dig in this desert, in this valley? Lord, I'm already in a dry place. I'm already in a boneyard of perplexity. Yeah, my emotions are shot. My nerves are practically gone. I'm stressed out, Lord. I'm in this pandemic. My marriage is on the rocks. My rent is due. And I just lost my job. And you want me to dig in the desert? In my personal valley? Can't you just wave some magic wand, Lord? Like, can't you just give me a thus saith the Lord, thou the rain tomorrow thou shalt. Can't you give me that? I prefer it. It's easier. Just give me a thus saith. Yeah. But I'm sick in bed. And you want me to dig. Now you want me to dig in this valley. Oh, I got to ask somebody on Facebook. Is there anybody in a valley this morning? I got to ask my brothers here and sisters at Logos, are you in a valley this morning? What's a life lesson? You see, it's in your valley where your faith is proven. Naaman's faith was proven in his own valley, in that tough place, when God asks you to do something that doesn't make sense. Valley. When the odds are against you, when your back is up against the wall, let me see what you're made of. It's easy to praise him when the sun is shining. In this context, you don't want to praise him when the sun is shining too much, because too much sunshine causes deserts. Yeah, that's right. But it's one thing to be able to praise him when you're in a high place. Be able to dig when you're in a high place. But when you're about to pass out, you can't breathe very well. You find yourself in some hospital bed. You find your surroundings coming against you. But like Job, are you able to say, though he slay me, though Lord, somehow you put me in a valley, though somehow I find myself in this desert, though you slay me, though somehow, Lord, a famine has come against me, though somehow I find myself in sickness or some kind of torment, though he slay me, Lord, somehow you find yourself in this valley, though he slay me, though he slay me, yet I will trust him, because I know that my Redeemer lives. Because I know that I shall come forth pure as gold. That's how your faith is proven, my friends. That's right. Yes, digging ditches in your valley. Digging deep ditches when you got a cramp, when your back is sore, when you've been 7 days walking in the desert, you can barely move. God is pick up that you haven't eaten and you feel weak. The shovel weighs more than you, and you're trying to pick up this shovel, and but you're gonna dig. Reminds me of that widow woman. She had no money, and there was a time of the offering. Yeah, in the synagogue, the time of the offering, and she had heart. She didn't even have a cent to her name. That expression came through this story. She didn't have a cent to her name, and the other ones, others are giving out of their abundance. She had a penny. She began to dig with that penny. She gave in her own desert. When will you stop making excuses? I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to somebody. When will you stop making excuses? Why? When will you stop trying to justify what's going on in your life because of the circumstances in your life? When will you stop doing that? And stop spending so much energy trying to justify, and spend more of that energy picking up a shovel. My God. It's easy to make excuses, especially today. Very easy to make excuses in the times in which we live in. It really is. But God has called me to dig a ditch in my valley. Yes, just when they counted you out. Yes, just when even the doctors may have said there's not much chance. God says, dig. If you can dig right now, something is going to happen. I believe it. Oh, church, if Logos, if you can dig right now, if you can press on. That's what Paul said. Paul didn't use a shovel. He just said to press on across the finish line. Same concept. If you can just keep running the race, keep digging, keep trusting, keep seeking, keep praying, keep hungering, keep thirsting. Keep hungering, keep thirsting, keep persevering, keep trusting. Oh, but I don't feel, keep seeking God. But you don't know what happened last week. Keep going forward. But that you don't know what my father said. Keep your hands on the plow. And just keep going. Keep your hands on the shovel. Keep digging, Logos, keep digging. Yes, I know you're in a valley. I know we're in a pandemic, but keep digging. I know. It's time to dig. And I believe if you dig right now, God is going to do something. He's going to respond. That's his word. He's going to respond to your digging. That's the word of the, because the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the earth, showing himself strong to those whose hearts are hungering. To those whose hearts and hands are digging. That's his word. Show himself strong to the diggers. And so my title comes up again. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Is there anybody this morning ready to dig? And I can hear the thunder in the distance. I can see the clouds forming. I can feel the Spirit brewing. Oh God, don't drop your shovel. Psalm 137, pick up your harps, O Israel. You've left them hang on the willow tree. Pick up your harps, begin to play again. Pick up your shovels, begin to dig again. It's time to dig. Now, more than ever before, Elijah is saying, listen, I'm the prophet, but I'm not going to dig for you. Stay with me. I'm the prophet. God spoke to me. God gave me the word, but I'm not going to dig for you. Are you with me? You see, friends, I can't dig for you. Board member Tim can't dig for you. Sunday school Susan can't dig for you. Pastor so-and-so can't. Evangelist, they can't dig for you. You must dig for yourself. You see, Elijah didn't dig. That's not his job. He gave the word. Life lesson. No one will dig for you. No one can get saved for you. You must get saved yourself. Dig yourself. Get your own oil. Get your own manna. Stop depending on him. Stop depending on her. There are people who won't go to the prayer meeting because brother so won't pick you up, and so you won't pray the whole week. Stop depending on people for your spiritual needs. Pick up a shovel and start digging. There's too much codependency in the church today. My friends, you got to pick up your own shovel. When you look at some of these great men in the past, some of my heroes like John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, all these tremendous men of God, Duncan Campbell, my God, there was something about them. William Seymour, what was it about these men? When you look at their lives, you find out they had a great shovel. They had a huge, and a couple of times their shovels, they wore out over and over again, so they had to get another shovel. That's what made him great. Oh, I wish I was like brother so-and-so. I wish I had that. Stop wishing and start picking. Billy Graham, when he first started out ministries, I mentioned this before, he went to John Wesley's house. They had a trip to England. It was a tour. And beside Wesley's bed, there were two grooves. Beside his bed, two grooves, two implants of sorts. There was something was engraved in there. And Billy Graham found out something that touched him. The question was asked, and the guide said, "These grooves beside Wesley's bed were grooves that were made by his knees." Imagine on a wooden floor, you cause grooves to take place from the hours of prayer, seeking God, digging. Because they can sing well, not because they can dance well, not because they can preach well, but because they can dig well. They can dig well. Can you dig it? You know, friends, you can take a few notes from people's lives. I've done that. You can take a few notes on observations. But when you take the course, you've got to dig your own ditch. You want to do well in school, young people? You got to study. Sorry. There's no easy way out. You got to study. I found that out the hard way. I never studied in school until I got to Bible college. My eyes were so strained, I can't even begin to tell you what happened. Got to study. You want to run a race? You just can't run a race because you decide. You got to train for the race, especially a marathon. Anybody ever run a marathon? Not many of us. You know why? Because you got to be crazy to run a marathon. You got to be really crazy. Well, I've ran one, twice, well, two, one and a half, actually, because it was half a marathon. Yeah. It's not easy. If you don't train, you've got no hope. You don't train, you've got no chance. If you don't dig, you've got no chance. Oh, I'm going to run a marathon because I saw brother so-and-so run it last week. I can do the same. No, don't worry. 1 mile, you're dead. Half a mile, you're dead. You won't make it. You won't make it. You want to have a good relationship, you got to work on it. You got to work on it. You've got to dig it. You can't do it just because you wish to do it. There's usually sacrifice. There's lots of sacrifice. You don't just run a marathon. It takes sacrifice. You don't have a great relationship. It takes sacrifice. You don't do well in school. It takes sacrifice. It takes a lot of digging. It takes a lot of sweat. And if you're not willing to sweat in the desert, you're probably not going to have a great relationship. You're not going to succeed as well as you would like to. It takes sacrifice. I got to close. But listen to me. Here's what I sense the Lord is saying today. Make room for what is coming next. I just have this. I can feel the brooding of the Spirit like a train on the edge of the town. That's what the song says. I make room for what is coming. I know it's hard to make room for something you haven't received or something you haven't seen yet. Something you've been praying for and you haven't seen it yet. I know it's hard to make room. Can I be brutally honest with you? It's hard to pray for revival when all you see is mediocrity and complacency. I've been praying for revival for 35 years. All that fasting, all that digging, and all that intercession. What are you doing? You're making room. You're making capacity for the water to come. Capacity. There's that word again. So logos. Despite the heat. Despite the 7 days walking in the desert. Despite your thirsting and your pain. I got a word for you today. When you throw the dirt over your shoulder, make sure it's not in my face, okay? Just keep digging. I don't care how tired you are. I don't care how exhausted. I don't care how hot it is outside. I don't care what COVID's telling me. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so, I respect them and all that, but I got to keep digging. I got to keep trusting God. I don't have any time to waste. I gotta keep going. Time is short. I don't have time to argue. I don't have time to overanalyze my situation. I don't have time to overthink my situation. I've got. I gotta close, and I got an application as I close this morning. I gotta close, but application. Application, are you ready? Number one, application number one, as I mentioned. I can believe in you. I can see greatness in you. I can see God's hand in your life. But I can't do for you what God is calling you to do. You've got to pick up your own shovel. Application number one. Stop depending on other people to pick up the shovel for you. I'm going to say that again. That needs to be said. Stop depending on other people to pick up your shovel for you to dig for you. Stop doing that. Number two, and here's a big one. Here's a huge one. Application number two, verse number 13. God says through the prophet, there's going to be no wind. What does that mean? God said to the prophet, there's going to be no thunder, no lightning. You won't see any, watch this now, signs that the water's coming. Oh, I love this one. There's not going to be any evidence that it's going to rain. Oh, I like that even more. No evidence that something is happening. There'll be no signs. No wind. You won't see the clouds like Elijah did on Mount Carmel. You won't hear the lightning flash. It won't look like anything's about to take place. Just like what Malachi said in the third chapter. They that seek the Lord, they that seek the Lord, they that keep digging, they that keep digging, the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. Yes. There was no clouds, no wind, but hold on, hold on, hold on. There'll also be no rain. Excuse me, now wait a minute. What? No rain, no wind, no lightning, no clouds. Well, where in the world does water come from? Man, God, I know I gotta walk by faith. But Lord, you gave me a mind here. That doesn't make sense. I know I'm not supposed to overanalyze things, but this doesn't make sense at all. No. God is saying, watch this. What I'm getting ready to do will not be in the natural realm. What I'm getting ready to do will not be business as usual. What I'm getting ready to do will not make sense personified. And that's why Ezekiel kept saying, and now you'll know that this is by the hand of the Lord. Everywhere you go in Ezekiel, we just finished Facebook studies, and now you will know that this is the hand, and you will know by what I did that this is, and I can hear Elisha saying the same thing, and you will know that God is going to bring water out of nothing. What? No wind, no rain. It'll be another Noah experience. He knew nothing about the rain, but the rains came. There'll be just water. That's it. God will just bring water. And I thought maybe as they were digging, that the water would come from underneath, possibly? No, that's not what the text is saying. All I know is that God didn't, he just brought it. It didn't come down. No. It came out of nowhere. It came out of nowhere. It didn't come down, it just came up. It just showed up. Water just showed up. The oil just showed up. The coin that Jesus sent Peter to get out of the fish's mouth in the Sea of Galilee just showed up. The lepers, as they went back to the priest, plagued with leprosy, as they turned toward God's healing just showed up. The God of the suddenlies just showed up. Came out of nowhere. No sign to indicate that anything was getting better. Those that are praying for revival intercessors, there doesn't seem to be much sign, Tim. I don't see much sign. Maybe there's a few little nuggets. But we're praying for the rain. I don't see a cloud. I don't see wind. I don't feel. There's no signs. The prophet said, don't look for signs. God's just going to do it. Amen. And that's why we're called to walk by and not by. There was no rain, no therapy. That's right. No counseling, no 12-step programs. That's all in the natural realm. God just showed up. Oh God, may there be a day that you just show up. Do it again, Lord. But one thing I do know, I might be tired, I might have a limp, I might be exhausted. God's saying by his word, there'll be water, but there's only one thing I'm asking you to do. I know it's tough, but pick up your shovel. I know it's hard, but just pick it up and start digging, Logos. Start digging. Someone on Facebook needs to start digging. Someone on YouTube needs to start digging. Pastor Josh, can you get on the keyboard? Get on the keyboard. Somebody get on the keyboard. I'm asking the minstrels to come. We're just going to hear just nothing. Just worship. Just music. Before the praise warriors come. We just want music. Josh, get on the keyboard. Brother Philip, get on the keyboard. And start playing something. The water's coming. I don't know where it's going to come. I don't know from how. I don't know by who. I don't know what. I don't see the rain. I don't sense the wind. But the water's coming. How do I know that? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. God said, dig your ditches. The water's coming. We've been digging for a long time at Logos. We've been praying a long time for the water. That's right. Some of you on Facebook have been praying for years and years, crying out to God for years. It's dry. The church is dry. The church has been in a boneyard of complacency for years. The church has been in a boneyard of mediocrity for years. Elijah called the minstrels to play and worship filled the atmosphere, and then the word of the Lord came. Dig your ditches. Is there anybody in a valley today? Pick up your shovel, my friend. Start digging. Start believing again. Start trusting again. Some of you have waned. You've put more confidence in what man is saying than what God is saying. You've allowed fear to control your lives through this pandemic. You've become cocooned in your environment through fear. I'm not saying we don't abide by the laws of the land. Absolutely we do. But it doesn't mean I have to be a fearful person walking on eggshells. Gotta pick up my shovel. Gotta start.